All right, Hebrews 11. And this is where we were last week. Let's review just a little bit. Last week we talked about faith and true or false. Faith is the amount of belief you have. False. Faith is not just what you believe. The devils believe right. They don't act in faith. Many Christians believe doctrinally that God is omnipotent, but they have no faith, so they don't ever do anything for God on that. They don't act in faith. See, last week we really talked about faith is something that moves you to action. Faith makes works happen. Faith without works is dead, being alone. When you believe something enough and you trust God enough, the faith moves you. And we use all these verbs here. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered. Verse 7, by faith Noah moved. Verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed and sojourned and looked. And we went through and read many things. He offered, Jacob blessed. In verse 22, Joseph made mention. Verse 24, Moses refused and chose and forsook and endured and kept and so forth. And so we see all these things in the Bible where they do things because of faith. Faith demands action. Faith moves you to action. Faith, the result of faith is you doing something. And so many Christians sit there with doctrine but not faith, so they don't really do anything. It doesn't change your life. But they have good doctrine. And unfortunately, the trust part isn't there that makes them have that action. So today we're moving into a little, doing this, and we'll stay on faith for a while here. And tonight I want to talk about faith that doesn't need to know. Faith that doesn't need to know. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Good, let's go ahead and pray. We'll talk about faith that doesn't need to know. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to teach us this truth. This is a heavy, deep truth, Father, of where most Christians never go. And I pray you'd help us to go there, Father, because it's your word and because of what great people who made a great difference had, Father. Help us to see it, help us to believe it, help us to act on it, Father. Now, this is contrary to the world's doctrine and philosophy and idea, but it's right here, Father. And I pray that you'd help us to see and help us to think like you think, and may it change some of our lives where we actually don't need to know. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord just said, go, and Abraham went. And the phrase here that's interesting, he said, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he went, whither he went. So Abraham went out not knowing where he was going, not knowing. And that's what I'm talking about there, is not knowing. It's a strange thing. A lot of people misunderstand faith a little bit because, like, maybe I can apply it better than I can explain it. They'll say, I will tithe as soon as I understand how the money's going to come in because I can't take that chance of not paying my bills. Or, God's called me to the mission field. I need to know how he's going to do that. I don't understand how I'm going to survive in the mission field and how this is going to happen and how I'm going to learn language and how I'm going to live there. I need to understand how that works. They need to know before they can go. But that's not what Abraham did. Abraham said, I've always found this story humorous because we don't see it in the Old Testament with Abraham, Genesis 13 or something. And we don't see it. I think we'll turn there later. I might have the reference written down here somewhere. But Abraham, he didn't know where he was going. It says, God said, arise and go, and he arose and went. Let me find it. It's Genesis. Let me find it real quick. Okay, Genesis 12, somewhere in that neck of the woods. And I think I got it written down somewhere. But, so if you go back and, in verse chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house." Now that's a lot of things right there. From your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house. That's all your security. And said, go. And go into a land I'll show thee, and I'll make thee a great nation, and I'll bless thee and make thee in thy name great. And I'll bless and a blessing, curse and a curse thee. And so he departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Now, he didn't really know where he's going. God said, depart. He went west, kind of west-northwest, and went across a Fertile Crescent there, and he left the cradle of civilization. This is early in civilization. Most of them are gathered together in one spot, and off he went, not knowing where he was going. Now, Hebrew is so fascinating because many times in the New Testament, you can find out more about what they were thinking. For example, we find out that Moses, when he killed the Egyptian, was thinking, they're going to understand now, I'm going to deliver them. So he knew he was a deliverer before then. In this story, in Hebrews 11, it says Abraham did not know where he's going, but he had an idea in his mind. And I found this in my life, is sometimes God said, go do this, and I've kind of got in my mind what's going to happen when I go do that. But I go do that, when I get there and go do that, it's totally different than I thought. But I knew enough to obey, but when I got there, it didn't end up anything like I thought it was going to end up like. Or God was doing a different work than I thought he was going to do, but that was the direction. That's why I try not to get myself too rigid in what God's going to do, because he might have different plans than me. Because Abraham, when he went out there, he thought there was a city somewhere, and God built a city for him, and he was going to be there and see this wonderful thing. And he said, I'm just going to make you a great nation. And he went and he hung around the land of Canaan, and he was kind of just living in a tent there, and his kids, his family was there, and before his family's even there, it's all his herds and all his servants were all there and his wife. And he just kind of, okay, God, I've went, and what am I looking for? And God comes to him and says, look around everywhere you can see, as far as your eyes can see. This is it. And he's like, it's an empty land. He says, it's a very special land. Matter of fact, they're still fighting over it. The whole world keeps fighting over it, this special land of Abraham's. And there's Israel. But it says, by faith he sojourned, verse 9, in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles and tents, with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him according to promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And so he is there, and he's kind of sojourning. He's kind of walking around, and finally God tells him, this is it, and this is the land. And so he's there. But he didn't know where he was going, is the point. Some people think he's talking about heaven there, and he was looking for heaven. I don't think so, by the way it's worded here. Doesn't matter. He went by faith, not knowing. Not knowing. A lot of people think they have to understand, and then they'll have faith. But verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, that's just blind faith. I think faith has to be blind, right? Or it's not faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. It's like me saying, okay, as long as I can see this pulpit here, all faith that's there. It's not faith. And so faith is a lot farther than we'd like to go, especially, and I hate to say this, but especially as Americans, or we have everything so secure. To really go, or we don't know. It says our missionaries in America are very noble to leave America and go to a different country, but very few of our American missionaries ever live by faith. I don't understand in a mean way, but you know what? They've got a credit card in their pocket. They can buy. They can spend money there. They know where they're going. They know how they're going to get there. They're going to have a safe airplane to get them there. They have a missions board. They have phone calls. They have Skype. They have all kinds of things. It's a little different. And now, I'm in America. Who am I? I'm not saying it's bad. Thank God they have all those things. But you understand, when Adoniram Judson started going to Burma, he didn't know what was coming. in the early 1700s. Okay? And so we like to know how everything's going to work. You don't know this because it's you and because it's me and because what our culture is. We're complete control freaks. We just have to know everything, how it's going to work out and how it's going to be control. See, faith would be this. God calls you tonight and says, go to Botswana and sell everything you have right now, buy a one-way ticket, and when you get there, I'll provide for you. You say, where am I going to live? Where's Botswana? And who's going to meet me at the airport? And what am I going to eat when I get there? That's faith. God says to you, go to the Society Islands and land there and have a place, I'll have a home for you and I'll have a place and you're going to spend the rest of your time there. Sell everything you have, sell your all your clothes except for the clothes you're wearing. Get in the plane with no suitcase, no credit card. Just all you have on you is your passport. That'd be hard for us, wouldn't it? Nobody, how many where Society Islands are? And you go and you say, wait a minute, God can't be in that because God doesn't want us to be stupid. That's what we say. Abraham went in a very primitive society without Google Earth. What? And without a credit card. You know, I'm telling you right now, I could go down to the airport. I could go down to the airport with this thing right here. I have to get my passport. I could go anywhere in the world and live for a long time. I got a lot of security right here. I mean, I can charge $20,000 with what's in my wallet right here. That'll live you a long time in the third world. No, you can't borrow it. And so, we're not used to that. Not knowing. Not having a plan. I mean, we, I believe, are hyper-planned, over-planned. We got to know everything, how it's going to work out. I'm not against planning. I'm not against it. But I find that we are so control freak in planning that we can't not know. Abraham and Sarah had an impossible child because they trusted. And here's the key to this message. How do you have faith in what you don't know? You have faith in who has promised. Look at verse 11. Continue the story. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. And when she was 9, and delivered a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. It's because of who she trusted, not what she saw. See, the crux of all faith is in a character of somebody. That's the crux of all faith. Everything has to do with not what we know, what not we understand, but faith. They hope for things not seen. Faith is based on trust of a person's character. Let me give you a good verse that says this, besides what we just read, of course, the great verse that says that. But 2 Timothy and chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. And he's talking about everything he suffered and losing everything. For I know whom I believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. So, one man, God calls and says, go to the Solomon Islands. And he says, yes, Lord. And he goes to his wife and says, honey, God calls us to go to the Solomon Islands. We're heading out to Bible college to get training. And she says, okay, honey, you know what? If you say God wants us to, I trust you and I trust God. Another man comes home and says, honey, God's called us to go to the Solomon Islands. And she says, oh, no, he hasn't. Where are we going to live? How are we going to pay our bills? What are we going to do about your career? Where are the kids going to go to school? What are we going to do about this? How do you know God's called you? Maybe God didn't call you. God didn't tell me that. What's the difference? Trust in character. Now, both of God and the husband. Both of them. The right man could tell his wife, God wants to do this. And she says, okay, I trust God. I trust you. She might trust God, might not trust her husband and still go. She might not trust neither. She might trust both. But it's a matter of the character of the person that she has a trust in. All right, let me illustrate this to you. Someone runs up to you and says, this is an emergency. Give me your keys. I got to take your car. Do you give them your keys? Depends on who they are. How many know someone, if they ran up and said, give me your keys. This is an emergency. You would not give them your keys. Okay? How many of you, somebody else, you just hand them your keys and trust that it must be something important? Okay, what's the difference? It's the character. I know whom I believe and persuaded that he is able. If you trust them, I love when somebody is untrustworthy and says, why don't you trust me? And they're totally offended at you for not trusting them. Trust is earned. And I want to tell you this, trustworthy people very rarely ask you to trust them. Untrustworthy people constantly will demand you trust them and ask, why don't you trust me? Why can't you forgive and trust me now? Love that. I forgive you, I just don't trust you. And by the way, you can do that. God forgive all these people and doesn't trust them. And so it's the character of the person. There are certain people can walk up and say, give me your wallet. And you can say, I wonder why they want a wallet, but I trust them. Here's my wallet. Other people, when they start coming, you're already grabbing your wallet and hiding it. Why? It's who they are. It's their character. It's, do you trust them? And there's people you know in your life who you trust, you would trust with literally with your life. They're impeccable. And you have faith in them. And so you would go, here's the keys. Tell me later why you need them. You do that with certain people. Maybe two, three people in your life. That's what faith is all about. God says this, and you say, okay, God, you know what you're doing. I trust you. You say, well, what's he going to do? I need to know what he wants me to do and how it's going to work out. That's not faith. You don't trust him. Well, I trust God. I just want to know where the money's coming from. No. That's sight. And that isn't true faith. I know whom I have believed. She is persuaded that he who had promised was able to keep his promise. So she had that. There are certain people when I give money to them and you give money and ask nothing in return, there are certain people who say, I'll pay you back. Did you know certain people, nobody gives me, do I give money to or ever ask for it back? Because the Bible says not to. There are certain people I give money to, I know I'm going to get the money back. And there are certain people, I know I'm not getting the money back. It really has nothing to do with what they said. It's all a matter of who said it. It's just that easy. I don't even need, it goes without saying. They won't let me not take the money back. And certain people, they could win the lottery tomorrow and I'm not getting my money back. And I know that. Now, neither one has to give me money back, but it's just a matter of the character of somebody and who they are. Would you trust them? And so God comes to you and he says, give me your life. And you say, what are you going to do with it? And he says, I'm God, trust me. I always laugh past a Mutcher story. He was about 12 years old and he kept hearing people talking about giving their life to God. And boy, he was going to be a nuclear physicist. and very smart. And boy, he had it in his mind that everybody who says, "Lord, I give you my life," God immediately says, "Go to Africa." That's what he thought. And it is like, "I give you my life, go to Africa." That's the first thing he said. And boy, God was working on his heart and working on his heart and working on his heart and working on his heart to give his life to God all the way. And finally, one night he couldn't take it anymore, and he bet in his bedroom as a kid, and he got on his knees and said, I know this. I'm going to say, "God, I give you my life." As soon as I say this, you're going to say, "Go to Africa." And he said, he got on his knees and said, "God, here I go. My life, I've been planning my plans, doing what I want to do. And Lord, I give you my life. Whatever you want to do with it, go ahead." And he didn't hear "go to Africa." But he would have at that point. God said, "Go to Oregon." And so and I want to say, it's a matter of trusting character. I know whom I have believed in and persuaded that he's able. Paul says, "I'm suffering loss of everything. I'm being beaten and put in jail. But you know what? I trust God that this is for a good reason. I'm persuaded he is able to keep all these things I've given to him against that day when I die. I trust him." So a few thoughts with that in mind. It's all a matter of trusting a person's character. Just a few thoughts. Faith keeps trusting when you don't see the Lord or know what he is doing. Now we're going to get tough. Faith, a lot of people say God is so good when everything's not too bad. But there's this point where they fall off the cliff and say, "I don't see why this is happening." And then they get mad at God. But real faith trusts who he is, even when it does not make a bit of sense. Matter of fact, you disagree with what happened. And you still trust God because of who he is. He must know what he is doing. Here's a good example of somebody saying that. Pretty bad day, lost 10 kids. All died in one day, lost all your wealth, lost your health, and your wife in one day. That's a bad day. And said Job 1:21, "Naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Do you understand? Read the book of Job. He had no clue why it happened. Very confusing book of four people going, "I think it happened because of this. I think it happened because of this." And God gets there and says, "None of you know why. You're all idiots." But Job said, do you think he thought it was fair? Do you know why his family all died? Because he was so spiritual. You understand that? If he wasn't so spiritual, his whole family wouldn't have died. And he's going, "Why couldn't have been wife?" And you'll get that if you read the book. And so the only ones he didn't want stayed. And that was funny. I trust you. And so Job trusted God when he didn't understand why. We trust God when all of a sudden we get a pain in our side, we go to the hospital, and the nurse gets saved. Then we get the medicine and we leave the hospital and say, "Man, I had faith the whole time." But then we go for terminal something. They tell us it's terminal. Or this is going to be with you the rest of your life. You say, "Why? I could do so much more for you, God." See, faith trusts when it doesn't understand. Faith trusts when it says, "God, this isn't fair." You say, "People in the Bible didn't say it." Read Psalms. All over Psalms, people saying, "God, this doesn't seem right to me. Why are you doing this? My God, why has thou forsaken me?" I mean, it's all over there. "I've walked and my hands are clean, God. Why do they attack me day and night?" And then he'll say, "Yet I will still praise you in the morning. And you're good, and I will praise you." Job 23. Watch, he can't even find God. He can't comprehend God. He can't see God anywhere in what's happening to him. Job 23, verse 8, "Behold, I go forward, and he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him." Look at that. He can't see God anywhere. You ever been there? Where is God? I can't. It seems like I got prayers. I got like a prayer-proof roof. Poof, poof. and God doesn't hear me, and God's not listening. Nobody's, I mean, God is, where are you, God? I'm praying, I'm looking for you, and there's nowhere. Job said that. I looked here and there, and I said, God is not anywhere. What does he do? He knows the character of God. So though he can't see him, and he says, I don't know why, he's not around. Watch what he says. I cannot see him, in verse 9, but he knoweth the way I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot held hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have seen the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. This is the middle of it. What did he say? I don't know where God is, but I'm going to stick with him. Because he can't see God in his circumstances in his life doesn't mean that he doesn't trust God anymore. Faith trusts when it doesn't see. Faith trusts when you don't know what the Lord is doing. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them are called according to his purpose. One of the great statements I ever said, probably one of the five statements that affected my life more than anything I've ever heard, is a pastor one time said, some of you need to have one final trial for God if he's good or not, and quit putting him on trial every time. He's guilty or not guilty, and he ain't changing. And so every time your circumstances change, don't put on God. Is God good? Is God fair? Don't put God on constant trial. And all he's got to keep on blessing you. He's not your genie. He's not your lucky rabbit's foot. And if it was lucky, why is it not on the rabbit anymore? So, faith trusts God when it doesn't see what God's doing. Faith trusts God when it says, God is nowhere to be found right now in my life, but I know who he is. And I trust him. He's no longer on trial. I decided when I was probably 23 for one last time, after I heard that and thought about it, and then went into the tank of my life, worst point of my life ever, terrible. And I didn't see God. I had faith doubts. I had everything. And it was the lowest point where I was saying, where is God? And I can't. God seems to be not hearing anything, not keeping any promise. He seems to be 10,000 miles away. But you know what, God? I believe you're good. And I've never really revisited the subject. Now I'll say, what are you doing? Why don't they get my jokes? Whatever else I am traumatized by. And I look at him and sometimes and many times I said, Lord, I don't see where you are. What are you doing here, Lord? But I trust you, you're a good God. I deserve hell. Just, I'm on. I might go back on that tomorrow, but you don't have to understand everything. Very hard for us. We like to understand everything. You don't have to understand everything. You trust who he is, that he knows what he's doing. Next, faith, if we don't have to know everything, and if it's based on what his character is, faith obeys not having to know where it will lead. What's the end of the result of obeying God? Because somehow between reading too many books where everything ends good, and watching too many movies where everything ends good, and watching, living in fairyland of our lives nowadays, everything in the end, everybody gets it right, understands, apologizes, and the truth comes out. And the bad guy dies. That happens all the time in everything except for history. I mean, you might do everything right in your life. And Job, hey, ended up good in the end. Had a bunch more kids. Got to see his wife go through labor all those times and laugh at her and say, curse God and die to her. And he got to go through all those. He got to go and everything ended up good in a way at the end. But a lot of stories. You know, Paul got his head cut off. Stephen got stoned to death. Now, in the end, when you get to heaven, everything's great. But everything doesn't end that way. Sometimes you follow God. Sometimes you're doing everything God wants you to do, and your health fails. Paul's did. It's sometimes you do right, and sometimes there's some pastor somewhere who's doing everything right, and his church doesn't have big blessings that you can see on earth. Sometimes there's somebody does everything right, and they have family problems. Now, a lot of times we're bringing it on ourselves, but faith doesn't have to know where it will lead. There's some missionaries who went to a country and died there. Great missionary Patton went to the mission field to Cannibal Islands, New Hebrides, very dangerous, went there risking his life, reached the islands, but very quickly when he got there, his first wife died of some swamp fever. Adoniram Judson buried his first wife and his child before he got a convert. Tom Williams was doing the will of God, great evangelist for his wife was struck with spinal meningitis, and his wife before that died giving birth to a deformed child who died. Right in the will of God. I mean, you don't have to know where everything's going to lead. You just have to trust who's leading you. And Abraham just went to where God led him. He didn't know where he was going to end, what it was going to be like. He didn't know. Next, if it's trusting the character of somebody, faith is willing to sacrifice the seen to gain the unseen. Faith is willing to sacrifice the seen to go into to gain the unseen. What shall Matthew 16:26? What shall profit my brethren if a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul? 2 Corinthians 4:16, while we look not in the things which are seen, but in the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal. Faith is willing to sacrifice the seen for the unseen. They're willing to lose a relationship in order to gain God's pleasure. Next, if faith is based on somebody's character and do you trust him enough, faith trusts unseen security more than known security. Psalms. Faith trusts unseen security more than known security. It's amazing how much faith I just said I have that when I get there, my Visa or MasterCard on some foreign country is going to work. A lot of faith in a little piece of plastic. A lot of faith in it. And you know how unstable that is? You lose that magnetic stripe, you're in trouble. The piece of plastic gets bent wrong. The bank goes under. Not all those banks are really secure. There's a problem. Sometimes you go overseas and they say, you know what, we think somebody stole your credit card, and they turn it off. Had that happen. We have faith in things that are seen way too strongly and very little faith in what we don't see, which is God. Psalm 20, verse 7. It says, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we'll remember the name of our Lord our God. Psalm 33 and verse 17. A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Some trust in horses, some in chariots. We'll trust the name of the Lord our God. That seen security of a horse and a chariot seems so good in war. You know how many dumb things happen? There's some very, in the history of warfare, there's some people who died in very ignoble ways. They weren't shot by an enemy soldier. They got run over by their own tank team. Friendly fire and all that stuff. Psalm 91, verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that waketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. He says, you know what? He trusts God and more than the seen things. I wonder. Oh, man. Really get myself in trouble here. I wonder how many of us would trust Harbor View more than prayer. I'm not against going to Harbor View or Franciscan or Swedish or any of these other things. I'm not against medical care. I think it's a blessing from God. But you know, we've just bypassed the prayer thing and just boom, go to the doctor, give me a pill. That's all we do. And because we believe the pill will work. Boy, your faith messed up. It'll work as long as they give you the other pill to counteract that one's bad reactions to you and that one's side effects. And they give you another pill to get rid of that one's side effects. And then the one to keep you, because you can't sleep with that pill, to make you go to sleep. Then the one because you're too groggy to make you go back awake. We have a lot of faith in a lot of things that are seen. And we like our airbags, nothing wrong with airbags and the seatbelts and all that stuff. It's fine. Now, because of dumb drivers, now they have the warning, you know, you're about to hit a car in front of you. And all the other things they have in the cars and backup warnings and all these things like that. And hey, you know what? That's great because people are bad drivers. But you know what? We have a lot of faith in a lot of things seen. You know what? You can have every airbag and everything in your world in your car. And no problem with that. Get a 5-star rating safety car. Fine. People in big 5-star vehicles get killed in wrecks. Or they have a heart attack while they're in them. We trust the seen way too much, and we do not trust the God of the universe because it's not seen, and we like to touch and feel and know it's there and have a good promise and have, okay, God, I'll trust you. Just show me how it's going to work out. While we look down at the things which are seen, some trust in chariots, some in horses, some trust in the Lord. Faith trusts the unseen security more than the known security because they're trusting their Father in heaven because they look at him and say he knows what he's doing. That's faith. Faith is all based on the character of someone. Faith trusts that, you know, if God tells me to do this, it's good. Faith says, you know what, I'll give my life to God because I just know he's a good God. And so I trust him. So we got to realize that's what faith is. Amen? Faith is trusting who somebody is. And really, when God tells you something and you don't obey it, what you're saying is, no, Lord, I don't trust you very much. Give me something I can trust, like a pill or a wallet or a big bunch of cash. Or a nice car, or a plan, or whatever. I need security, God. I'll trust you as soon as you give me something seen. God says, you don't trust me very much. Trust me. I'm only good. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to teach your word, Lord, as we have a serious, heavy message on faith where very few people trust you and just settle that you're good and never change. Lord, help us to trust the character of you. Where when you run up and ask for the keys, we say, here's the keys. Wonder why? When you wonder why you haven't come back for a couple hours with our car, we say, I wonder where he is, but I know he didn't steal it because I know who he is. Lord, may we have that kind of trust in you, Father, because of who you are. You're able and you're good and you work all things together for good. Help us to trust and live by faith in the unseen world. And just decide we're going to trust you, even though we don't see the way or the path or the security. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I think tonight we should have an invitation. Because then God's insulted by us sometimes. Saying, why don't you guys trust me? No, I'm not going to make it easy and secure and clear to you. Because I want you to trust me. Get in the car, I'm taking you somewhere. Good. I'm a good God. And we say, show me the map. Break it down and I'll go. God says, okay, then I'll just go by myself. And you don't go great places because without faith, it's impossible to please him. And it's about our eyes are closed. Who would say, you know what? I need to trust the unseen and trust God because of who he is more than the way and the knowledge and the path and the seen things. I just need to trust who he is. Those are people I trust impeccably on earth. Why wouldn't I trust my Father in heaven? God's speaking to me. I just need to trust God. And God's speaking to me today about trusting him. Unseen, when I don't know the way, when I don't understand, I'll just trust him. God spoke to me today. I need to do that. That's me. We pray for me. We slip your hand up right now. That's me. God, I need to trust God impeccably when I don't have my feet in the ground and I'm dangling. I need to trust God impeccably in everything. He's just who he is. He's not a liar. He's able. He loves me. He gave his son for me. Many hands. You can put your hands down. I need to trust God by faith. Now, it's hard. And the worst thing is sometimes the most competent people have the most problem with faith because they're used to taking care of everything themselves. They do not like that feet off the ground. I don't know how this is going to work out deal. That happens. That's what you got to learn. You got to learn there's some things you can't control. You got to trust God and give him your life. Give him everything. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand together and let's just sing, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Whatever business you have with God, whatever God's speaking to you about in the land of faith, come tonight. Talk to God. He needs to hear some people say, I trust you impeccably, God. I don't need to see the way. I don't need to understand. I'll be like Job, and though you slay me, yet I'll trust in you. I need to have that kind of faith of who you are as we sing, You Come.